Well, what a blessing it is to be able to gather in God's house, isn't it? What a blessing it is. I hope we never take it for granted. I hope we never take it for granted. Yeah, I can't do that and this and not everything else at the same time. But the Lord is good, isn't he? And his mercy lasts forever. Well, last week we examined how the ongoing work of Jesus in our lives can change us. And today we are going to get into the scriptures and we'll see how God uses his inspired word to shape us and mold us. But before we get too far into the sermon this morning, I want to set the framework for understanding what the Bible is. The Bible is a collection of books, letters, and poems that were written over a 1,500-year span by nearly 40 authors. It's a timeless tool that speaks to every aspect of our lives. And I've heard it said this way, the more we read the Bible reads us. The more we read the Bible reads us. Meaning the people who penned those inspired words offer us a mirror through which we might see ourselves most clearly. So it is important that when we read and study God's word, we do so in the manner in which the book was written and with the intentions of the authors in mind. For instance, many people read the Bible as if it's an owner's manual. Much like if something goes wrong with our vehicles, we take out the owner's manual and we look up to see what's wrong. We just turn the page and then everything will go the right way. If we approach the Bible in this fashion, then we'll find ourselves frustrated. Others read the Bible like a textbook. We expect it to lay out in detail everything we need to know to pass the test of life. And we look to it for proof of how the world was made or to explain Jesus' miracles. Treating the Bible as a textbook only can leave us frustrated. And then some people use the Bible like a magic ball, a magic eight ball. They just shake the ball up and down and hope for good news and then just turn to some random page in the Bible, put their finger down and hope for a word from God. Ever done that? And if those verses do not fit what we were looking for, well, we just did it all over again, didn't we? So if it's not a manual and it's not a textbook or a magic eight ball, then what is this mysterious and lengthy book? There's 66 books in the Bible. How many are in the Old Testament? Anybody know? Sword drill time, sorry. 39. And in the Old Testament, it tells of Israel's relationship to God and the people and the countries around them. They contain everything that happens in the story of God before Jesus arrives on the scene. The New Testament. How many books is the New Testament? 66 take away 39 gives you what? 27. Now, those who know me well know I don't count, right? But 27 books are dedicated to the life and times of Jesus Christ and the expansion of the church after Jesus' death and resurrection. Some of them are history books. Others are books of the law. Some are poetry, prophecy, biography, and letters. But all with one consistent message. God loves his creation and has gone to great lengths to rescue and redeem it. God loves his creation and has gone to great lengths to rescue and redeem it. And so this message, this word of God, has the power to change you and me. You see, the Bible is the Word of God. One of the clearest depictions of how the Bible impacts our lives is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here, Paul writes to his disciple Timothy. He ends his letter by reminding Timothy of the importance of staying grounded in God's word. Verses 16 and 17 say, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So first, according to Paul, the words that we read in scriptures are not simply of human origin. The scriptures originated with God. He inspired every word throughout history through the perspective and personality of the authors. They were birthed out of the individual intimate relationship with God to help people navigate the aspects of their lives. The Bible calls it useful. The scriptures are a tool to accomplish many things in the life of a believer. The key is that we must engage with it through reading and through studying. And when I say, I don't mean just saying the words on the page, but letting the words soak deeply into our hearts and our minds. 2 Timothy also says that the Bible teaches and trains us. When we read the Bible, when we study the scripture, it forms our minds and hearts, and it trains us in the way of righteousness. The Bible teaches us how to love people well, how to handle conflict, how to defend our faith, how to serve those in need, how to handle our finances, how to live life abundantly, and so many other lessons. And then 2 Timothy also tells us that the scriptures rebuke us and correct us. This sometimes, as we all know, can be uncomfortable. But one of the Bible's jobs, one of the things that the Bible does is to expose sin, to uncover motives, and reveal false theology in our lives. The scripture keeps our lives level and aligned with the foundation that is Christ. Now, I meant to grab a level this morning, and I didn't. But who here has used a level? Come on, Meredith, I know you have. I witnessed you. Anybody use a level? To keep everything straight. Who said that? To keep everything straight. So when we're putting pictures up on the wall, and you want to make sure that they're level, do you eyeball it? Do you eyeball it? Sometimes. Do you get the level out after you eyeballed it? So pictures can be hung, and then you step back, right? And you look. Is that level? No, I don't think it's level. Is that level? A little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. And then eventually you kind of put the level in the center, and then you see that bubble, that magic bubble that makes it look like it is spot on. That's what the Bible is. It makes our lives spot on. When we are studying and reading God's word and spending time in his presence and relying on it and reading his word and studying it and trying to understand it and involved in a Bible study or a prayer group or a small group, our lives become spot on. And that bubble represents Jesus Christ. He's in the center of everything that makes it level. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. He makes it level. The Bible is the level of our lives. When we are out of sync with God's intentions, it helps align us. And if we allow it to teach us, and if we submit to its authority in our lives, it will change and correct us so that we won't go astray. So the Bible trains us for good work. You see, the Bible equips us for every good work. The Bible's instruction in the way that God desires for the world to function so that we might be well equipped to join him in his work. God has invited you and I, and it doesn't matter how long we have been a Christian, whether it's been 1 week, 6 months, or 25 years, God still calls us to his word. And he wants to help to redeem and restore us and to make us more like him. We want to be able to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, to join him in his good work. There may be things in our lives that need to change. And how do we know if things in our lives need to change? By reading God's word, by studying his word, by allowing the Bible to teach us, to train us, to rebuke us, and correct us. Now, the Bible also lights our path. We live in a world that is crazy, right? The world is crazy these days. And it's not an easy world to navigate. And knowing the wisest choice and the right step can be very challenging as to what we want to do next. What should we do next? And the Bible tells us that God's word is not just a tool to work within us, but it's a tool to guide us. The author of the book of Psalms writes in Psalm 119 and 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path." This passage tells us that God's word is like a lamp for my feet. A lamp provides light in dark places. That's what the Bible does. If we are feeling dark in our own lives, the Bible provides light. Now, you know that when the lights go out in the room, it becomes very difficult to move around if it's completely pitch black. Completely pitch black. And it's hard to move about without stubbing your toe or bumping into something, or if we have children in our household, stepping on a Lego. But when we turn the flashlight on or we light a candle, it illuminates the whole room. One light illuminates the whole room. I can use it to see where I'm going, where I have been, and where that Lego was, and everywhere in between. You see, though we live surrounded by sin and darkness, we can rely upon the scriptures to light our way in front of us, so we can avoid the pitfalls of temptation and the dangers of evil. Without light, we run the risk of stumbling into treacherous places and doing harm to ourselves and others. When we trust the leading and guidance of the scriptures, it changes the trajectory of our lives. It changes the trajectory of our lives. Tried to say that twice. Wow. This past week, I asked Verna to ask 10 people within our congregation, our church family, God's word, let it change you. How has God's word changed you? And this is what blessed my heart of this church family. A gentleman said to me that God's word makes him more humble as he reads the word daily. A lady said that God's word has given her peace. Another lady said that the word of God encourages us and comforts her. Another lady told me that God's word brings truth into her life. It shows me my need for a Savior and the daily sanctification of his spirit. A gentleman said that God's word is his roadmap for his life as he reads the word of God. A lady said that reading God's word makes her a better person as it changes her daily. Another lady said, and this answer, they're all great answers. God's word has been like a guidepost and a stabilizer to me. God's word has helped me to fix my gaze and set my course straight. He, the word, has been my mind, renewer, my healer, my wisdom, my source of strength, my comfort, and my encouragement. So I ask today, what is God's word to you? What is God's word to you? Not what God's word was 20 years ago. What is God's word to you today? How is God speaking to you through his word today? What means are you using to allow God's word to speak to you? Are you using our daily breads? Are you using an online app, YouVersion? Are you involved in a small group Bible study? Lots of other means and avenues today to be able to study God's word. Or do you sit with the open Bible and just stay on a verse for as long as God says stay on a verse? One of the things in our new believers Bible study said to the ladies is that, you know what, it's okay to stay on a passage of scripture for a long period of time if God is still speaking to you through it. Don't move on because you think you have to finish the book of Luke. Move on when God is done speaking to you through that passage. God is at work in our lives when we spend time in his word and when we pray, and we'll look at prayer in a couple weeks. So what are the places in your life that need to be leveled, that need to be lighted? What are the situations in your life that seem confusing and shrouded in darkness? The Bible can shed the light, can make your path straight as you trust in God. And so how might our lives this week be changed if we committed to read the Word of God, maybe even more than what we're reading it right now? What about if we were to reread again the book of Luke and see where God takes us in it? What about if we were to reread the book of John, Philippians, Esther, and see where God takes us? On the tables, you will see little cards, and each of these cards have a scripture verse on them. And I invite you, while the music plays, to prayerfully come and choose a scripture verse for you for such a time as this. This morning I chose Isaiah 26 and 3. He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him. Perfect peace. Then after you've chosen one for yourself and prayed for it, over it, and asked God to reveal it to you, I want you to choose one for someone else. And on the back, this is what I've chosen for the person that I'm going to give this through this week. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Matthew 21 and 22. Sorry, this way. And then on the back, we can say, Dear Ken, or Ken, let's say, just use Ken as an example. Ken, I picked this verse for you this week. I'm covering you in prayer today. You can sign it, not sign it. But I believe as I sat and it's just a very creative opportunity to be able to allow God. And then put your verse somewhere where you see it every day, whether that's the fridge or your special chair or anywhere by your bedside, on your desk, But this morning, I invite you, just as the music plays, to choose a verse for yourself. There's over 60, I think, or 70 there. If you feel you need to take another one, by all means, don't have the limit to two. But it's an opportunity, not only just to make sure that the word is grounded in our lives, but to let someone else know that we're praying for them. We're praying for them. And an opportunity to say, it's good to see you, or to invite them to church, or to say, how can I pray for you this week? And maybe even share in a prayer at that particular moment when it happens. It doesn't have to happen right today. You don't have to give that card today, but if God's laying that on your heart to do so, by all means. But He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns you today. And so just as the music plays, I invite you just randomly come and choose a card, pray, choose two, choose three. I would love to see them all gone this morning. Because that means that as God is at work in us, God is at work in us. And He has a word for us today. Let's just quietly reflect on Him.